Shane, good morning.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I must say, this is bringing awful, awful flashbacks of my time in high school. Now, Shane,
I think it is for most people. There tends to be this moment when I tell people that I look at things around the HSC or the Year 12. You get this kind of glazed look on people's face where they remember. I think they remember results day more than any, though.
Yep, that is the moment in my mind. Now, Shane, it seems that all the media attention is focusing on high achieving students with really, really fantastic ATARs. Why is it that we don't hear about the schools that helped disadvantaged children or children that overcame anxiety and mental health issues to complete their HSC?
Well, I think, unfortunately, and I say this more from a media perspective, I don't think that those stories are quite as exciting. This morning I came in and I was looking at the Herald Sun website down here in Melbourne, because obviously in New South Wales you haven't got your results out yet, and all of the, nearly all of the articles are around on the Age and the Herald Sun in Melbourne are around, the students who received 99.95 or the top ranking ATARs, or whether what's the other one here, getting a less than perfect ATAR being the end of the world or not being the end of the world, or hearts soaring and breaking, and I think that they're just really more dramatic stories that are a bit more exciting for the major broadsheets to tell, whereas the other stories, the stories of how we, teachers are working in schools with disadvantaged young people, with young people who may not have stayed on at school if it wasn't for particular programs and particular teachers, and those sites and how they responded to their needs. I just think those stories aren't necessarily as exciting to tell. And that's maybe why they get overlooked, even though they're a really significant part of the landscape.
Now, Shane, with a quarter of Australian children not completing high school, why is it that the HSC and down in Melbourne, the VCE and the ATAR still have the strong effect of being seen as kind of this main source determining the rest of your life to most of Australia?
Well, and there's a compounding stat there, and that you're quite right that, a recent report that came out of the Mitchell Institute suggested that a quarter of young people aren't completing Year 12 or equivalent. It's not just that they're not completing Year 12, it's that they're not completing whatever other equivalent studies in a flexible learning environment might be available to them. But only 50% of young people are going on to university or at least even advanced diploma. So we have an issue where the ATAR is only really relevant for those young people in the immediate years after schooling and getting into university courses, yet it is being sold as the be-all and end-all. And we'll be covering it here in the media for the next week or so, looking at the different students who scored incredibly highly or the schools that have, done the best. And I think I've suggested recently that what the media outlets will be doing over the next few days is really crunching the numbers to figure out which schools achieved the highest results overall, what the average study scores were in particular subjects, and it'll be the usual cast of schools that we see every single year, with a few outliers who have performed much better than expected. And that'll just be what we pay attention to, or what is paid attention to. So I think all of that frenzy around the release of results and in January the release of university offers, I think that feeds into this idea of why we focus on this and why we perhaps pay the ATAR itself a little bit too much mind.
I think I got asked my ATAR twice and then I've never spoken about it again. So it is really, really hyped up to be this huge entity, and then there's a very disappointing climax there, I guess. Now, with the release of ATARs becoming less important when it comes to entry of university degrees, what are other ways that students are being able to gain acceptance into degrees? I know myself, I didn't reach the ATAR that I needed to get into the course that I've done. And I got in first round with a couple of bonus points, still wasn't quite there, but got let in anyway. And if anyone ever asked, that was probably a clerical error that we're never going to bring up ever, ever again, because we've just graduated and it's okay. But what are other ways that students are getting accepted into degrees?
Well, I think you raise a really, really important point. that we have for university acceptance, we have what's called a Clearly In, which is the sort of guide mark that you apparently need to get into a course. And that's often conflated with incorrectly called a cutoff score, as though that's the minimum. But those numbers fluctuate based on demand, based on the amount of places that are available in a particular course on a given year. And those things are a lot less transparent. And I see that as perhaps the other side of the issue here, though, you know, it's not exactly something to comment on today. But there is an issue around this lack of transparency around what your score actually translates into in terms of a university offer, and knowing whether your score is going to get you in a given year. So certain courses will jump and they'll go up quite a lot because demand will increase. And as demand increases, people with higher scores, you know, will be aiming for that course. And then other subjects, the Clearly In score will drop in a given year. So your score that may not have gotten you into a course last year will get you in this year. And there's simply no way of knowing that until the university offers come out. But in response to the second part of your question around what other options, well, there's been a real proliferation of different online-based kind of systems helping people to see what their score opens up to them. And I'm thinking here specifically of Uni Options, which is a site, if you just type in Uni Options. And there's by their measure, there's 14 different ways that you can actually get into a course. And only one of those is direct entry through the ATAR that you receive at the end of year 12.
Wow.
So there's a lot of ways and a lot of different pathways to get toward where you wish to go, or where a young person wishes to go. And some of them just take a little bit more time, and some of them still require an ATAR score, and some of them just do not. So things like taking individual subjects, studying online, getting credits from TAFEs or other kinds of avenues, and then using those to transfer into the course or the pathway that you want. And I think that the final thing to consider is that a course isn't a job. A course is just a course. It's just further learning. It's further skilling up. And all of our evidence says that tertiary qualifications are incredibly important. You know, year 12 or equivalent is incredibly important, and tertiary qualifications are very, very important in today's job market. But they're not a job. There's always been that long-running joke that if you do a Bachelor of Arts, well, it doesn't qualify you for a job. Well, I would argue that there's very few courses that qualify you directly for a job. I think that it's more about what you're able to do with that, your ability to understand the field that you want to work in, your ability to get into that field even in a small way, even if it's something like a reception job or a, you know, some kind of maintenance job or some small way. The earlier, you know, the research that we have is that the earlier you can get into work in the field that you want to work in, the more likely you are to gain full-time employment or gainful employment in that area. So there's a lot of factors, and only a few of them relate to the ATAR.
I completely agree. And as you said, education does not guarantee a job. It guarantees that you spend 3 years of your life and $20,000 on an education. It doesn't. You don't get handed a job when you walk out the doors. Now, Shane, just to wrap things up this morning, do you think we will see a new method launched for HSC results and VCE results and university entry that doesn't rely on a rank? Is the ATAR becoming obsolete?
I think it's important to note that there are some really, really... There is a very high-quality alternative that already operates within Australia, which is the International Baccalaureate, which doesn't rely on ranking, though it does transfer across... It scales across to an ATAR. But the IB itself doesn't have a ranking system. It has a merit-based system. So that's another way that we can do things. In the United States or in some other countries, they have direct application to the universities, and rather than necessarily an overall ranking like we do in Australia. And that has advantages and disadvantages as well. So I think I'm not sure if we're going to see another system in the near future, but I would certainly like to begin having a discussion about what that might look like. And at the moment, we're simply not having that discussion in any real and meaningful way. So I think for the time being, we're stuck with the ATAR, and it's kind of the best system that we've got. Queensland is just about to come online and start scaling their scores across into an ATAR in the next few years. So I think soon it will actually be Australia-wide, whereas at the moment it's not quite. So I think we've got a few years to run with it before we even seriously consider an alternative.
Well, Shane, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thank you so much, and best of luck to everyone with their results tomorrow.